It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we have our weekly political check-in with 538's Harry Enten.
First, Americans are no strangers to debates over the influence of money or big business in politics. Calls for campaign finance reform were a rallying cry in Bernie Sanders' campaign. Hillary Clinton has been criticized for connections to Wall Street, and Donald Trump has touted his political influence as a billionaire and political donor.
Today, Wisconsin may be ground zero in the debate over the influence of money in politics. An expose that was published in The Guardian today features leaked court documents from Wisconsin's John Doe investigations, which probed into whether there were campaign finance violations by Governor Walker's recall election campaign in 2012.
The leaked documents include copies of checks and emails between wealthy donors and people connected to the Walker campaign. The report is posted on Central Time's Facebook page. Ed Pilkington joins us now. He's the chief reporter for The Guardian U.S. who wrote the expose on the leaked documents. Ed, welcome to Central Time.
It's great to be with you.
Well, your story is called Because Scott Walker Asked. Where does that title come from?
It's from a handwritten note in the subject line of a check written by one of the corporate donors that we found among these leaked documents. And what's interesting about it was that the check, though it said, because Scott Walker asked, was actually written to Wisconsin Club for Growth, which is a third-party outside group. It's a tax-exempt, non-partisan, non-political organization. And yet we found a pattern in which Scott Walker was asking for money to help in his own recall election in 2012 and to help fellow Republican senators in 2011 go through similar recall elections. They asked for money, and then the money was always passed through outside groups, most commonly Wisconsin Club for Growth.
And Scott Walker, at the time your story picks up, is facing a recall election, as you just alluded to, and is in need of donors to help him beat back that challenge. And based on what you saw, how does his team direct him to look for that financial support?
Well, his fundraiser, shortly before the petition was launched to put him through a recall election, sent him a note in which it was quite clear she was briefing him about what he needed to do to raise enough money to win the recall. And it kind of goes to the heart of what these leaked documents reveal, I think. She writes, "Corporations, go heavy after them to give. Take Coke's money." That's a reference to the Koch brothers, the multi-billionaire coal and oil tycoons. She says, "Get on a plane to Vegas and sit down with Sheldon Adelson, who is another billionaire casino owner. Ask for $1 million now." And that's sort of the tone that comes out of these documents. There's a sense that a senior politician such as Scott Walker and his personal campaign committee has the desire to go out there, approach billionaires right across the nation. He goes down to Texas several times. He goes across to New York often and sits down with very wealthy individuals and major corporations and asks them for money to fight a local election in Wisconsin. And I think that goes to the heart of the question here. Is it illegal? Very probably it isn't illegal. But is it in the spirit of electoral health in America that local elections such as this, these recall elections, were being waged with many millions of dollars of corporate money?
And one news story in your reporting that's picking up steam, a donor closer to home, is a look at donations made by Harold Simmons of NL Industries and also laws passed by Republican-led legislature in Wisconsin limiting the liability of the lead paint manufacturers. And I want to pick up that aspect first. Where does Harold Simmons come into the picture?
Well, again, this is another part of the pattern I've been describing. Harold Simmons was a Texas-based billionaire industrialist who owned lots of important companies, one of them being NL Industries. Historically, that was National Lead Industries, which gave an indication of what it did. It was one of the major producers of lead in the country. And until 1978, when it was banned, NL Industries was a major producer of lead paint. Now, if you look in cities like Milwaukee, particularly poor areas of cities like Milwaukee, where there are a lot of rundown houses, There's a very high incidence of lead paint poisoning. It's not dissimilar to what's been happening in Flint, Michigan with the water. In fact, it's at levels often considerably worse, that kids in particular have been vulnerable to high levels of lead poisoning from lead paint, which just crumbles off these old walls in their old houses. And what we see from the documents are two things. One, we see a tranche of three different checks amounting to $750,000 arriving from NL Industries, again to Wisconsin Club for Growth. And this is shortly after there is evidence in the documents that Scott Walker's campaign committee was interested in seeking Harold Simmons's help. He was a major funder of right-wing causes until he died in 2013. In a similar time frame, the Wisconsin Republican-controlled legislature, with Governor Walker's sign-off, made several attempts to make it much more difficult for victims of lead paint poisoning in Wisconsin to sue any lead paint producer, including NL Industries, for compensation for the damage that they had gone through as a result of lead poisoning. And as we know, and we've seen it in Flint, Michigan, lead poisoning can really do substantial harm to the development of kids when they take in the toxin.
We're talking with Ed Pilkington right now about his story looking at leaked documents from Wisconsin's John Doe probe. And his story's up on the Central Time Facebook page. It's called Because Scott Walker Asked. And with that story about the legislation, is there any trail there between the two? Are these two not connected? You just see them as beginning to develop in a parallel fashion?
That pattern you can see happening time and time again. And you know, it's common enough, I think, to raise questions about intent. Now, are we saying that there was quid pro quo, i.e. cash for favors, corruption happening in this or other cases? We're not saying that. There isn't the firm evidence in the documents that suggest it definitely was intentional and it happened in that way. But as we point out in the article, the U.S. Supreme Court has made clear many, many times in rulings going back decades that it's not just real corruption that needs to be prevented through campaign finance laws. Even the appearance of potential corruption needs to be avoided, because if people suspect that their politicians may be passing new laws out of favoritism for people who are backing them with money for their elections, that could be seriously damaging to the health of a democracy, to faith in democracy. So even the appearance of possible quid pro quo should be avoided, and the U.S. Supreme Court has made that very, very clear. And the way to avoid it, they say, is to keep separate the corporate money that is coming into elections from the candidate themselves. And big questions are raised, I think, in the documents that we have posted today and that we received as a leak from the John Doe investigation about whether that coordination was breached, and if so, how serious was that breach.
Now, you reached out to the Wisconsin Club for Growth. This is the organization that apparently received a lot of the donations that you write about. What did they say?
They have made clear over time that they feel that there was no wrongdoing done here by them or anyone else. They've also made the point that the John Doe investigation was shut down by the Wisconsin courts. And that's a similar point that Scott Walker's office, his campaign office, made to us, that in their case, in the statement they gave to us, no wrongdoing was done, and the investigation was shut down by several different courts in Wisconsin. It has to be said that the U.S. Supreme Court, the highest court in the nation, is currently considering a petition from the prosecutors. It's on their desk at the moment. The eight justices are currently looking at it, and they've indicated that by the end of this month they will announce whether or not they will take the petition and actually review the decision of the Wisconsin courts to shut down the investigation. So this story is not yet over, and we haven't yet had the end of the story in terms of legal judgment on it.
Now, to elaborate a little on the response from Scott Walker's campaign, Joe Fadness has said, as you mentioned, several courts shut down the baseless investigation on multiple occasions, and there is absolutely no evidence of any wrongdoing. What do you make of that response?
Well, It is true that the courts in Wisconsin have shut it down, and that last year the Wisconsin Supreme Court confirmed that, and they said the John Doe investigation was firmly at an end. They gave a very strongly worded ruling to that effect. And yet, when we came to look at the documents, it became clear to us that there was a story behind even that story, and that's something, again, that emerges from these documents. You go layer upon layer of complexity here, and layer upon layer of questions being asked about the corporate influence in elections, because you find that the Wisconsin Supreme Court has a 4-3 majority, conservative to liberal, balance on it, and that a few years ago, in fact, exactly the same time that the Republican senators were facing recall in 2011, one of those Supreme Court justices, David Prosser, was facing his own re-election, and he was funded to the tune of several million dollars by exactly the same groups and outside lobbying groups that the John Doe investigation had been probing, and exactly the same investigation that he then went on to join the ruling that shut it down, which, you know, I think in many people's minds would raise the question of conflict of interest. That was put to him at the time last year, and he refused to recuse himself from that decision. We talked to him, and he said to us that he thought sufficient time had passed between 2011 and 2015 to fade any potential conflict of interest, and he felt there was no need to accuse himself. Though, again, I think it leaves question marks about, you know, checks and balances. Are there sufficient checks and balances going on here that the judiciary can make decisions that are fully independent? And you know, this goes to the heart of the issue here. Is the role of all this money coming in, the politicians and even judges need for it in order to keep their jobs, is that starting to distort the electoral and the political process in America?
And that's how you end your piece. I mean, you get pretty deep into the thicket of campaign finance, law, and ethics here. But you end by wanting to tell people why you think this story matters. And just briefly, how would you summarize that argument?
Well, yes. And, you know, I should say we posted 1,500 pages of documents which are under seal to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And at one point, the court actually ordered those documents destroyed. So we didn't lightly go into this. We knew that we were doing something that was quite controversial, that many people in Wisconsin and elsewhere may disapprove of. But we asked ourselves a serious question. What is the public interest in these documents? And I think it's quite simple to say, which is this. Can there be any subject more worthy of being in the public interest than the health of the American democracy? And it boils down to that. Are people being elected on the power of their ideas and on the power of their leadership, or are they being elected because they have the most corporate money in their pockets? And as Donald Trump himself has said on the campaign trail several times, boasting about his own influence over politicians, he says he goes around, he buys politicians, he pays them money, and once he's paid the money, they'll do anything for him. Now, if the Republican presidential nominee, who is potentially a few months away from the White House, says things like that, then I think we all have reason to be concerned.
Ed, thank you for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
That was Ed Pilkington. He's the chief reporter for The Guardian U.S., joining us to talk about an expose he wrote on leaked court documents in Wisconsin's John Doe investigations.